You've just heard from Luke chapter 2. I wonder if you'd turn in your Bibles, if you have them, please, to Luke chapter 1. Now, very thankfully this morning, if you were here at the early service, you heard Brother Marty announce that I was to speak next Sunday. His old saying goes, I was sweating like a cow with a buck-toothed calf because I'm to be in Cohill next Sunday. But we did straighten that out, and Brother Gary will be here, and please be in prayer for him. Also, if you had been here in the early service, you would have heard our brother Marty share some truths from Matthew, which are so in keeping with what I hope to share with you this morning. I've often had the happy experience that God starts speaking long before I do, and I'm always thrilled about that, and have the joyous news that he's not done when I'm done either. So folks, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, and if you have a spare finger, you could turn to Psalm 98 as well. So Psalm 98, Psalm of David, and Luke chapter 1, the words of Mary, known as her Magnificat, and we'll take time to read those words of hers, Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and let's begin. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked on the humble estate of his servant, for behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." Now, why are we looking at two scriptures at the same time and two scriptures so scattered by time? There's thousands of years in between these words of David and this great statement of Mary's. Well, a brother of old named Adam Clark noticed something in Mary's words that we've just read. He realized, a man who obviously spent a lot of time in the scripture, he realized that Mary's words are actually an echo of what's found in Psalm 98. He made this comment. He said, "This psalm is an evident prophecy of Christ coming to be the Savior. And what's said by David thousands of years ago in Psalm 98 is echoed or chanted by Mary in this great statement of hers." And if you want to follow along, I'll share a couple of the verses back and forth and you'll see what he means. Psalm 98, David says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." And Mary in 147, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Psalm 98 and 1, "He's done marvelous things." And Mary in 148, "He is mighty. Has done great things." Psalm 98, "His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." And Mary in 151, "He's shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts." Psalm 98, verse 2, "The Lord has made known his salvation. He's revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." And Mary in Luke 1 and 50, "His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Psalm 98 and 3, "He's remembered his steadfast love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel." And in Luke 1:54, Mary says, "He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." So there we have it. This brother was obviously correct, but you might say, okay, thanks for the history lesson, big deal. Of what absolute importance could this possibly be to me in this year? Well, folks, there's a number of things, and I hope to share them with you this morning. The very first thing I want you to notice is that Mary's prayer is not a spur-of-the-moment statement. It isn't just her emotional venting at what she's just heard. The fact is, the reason for Mary's statement here, she's just been told by an angel that she will give birth to the Son of God. It's a rather momentous occasion, you might say, and it would be very understandable if she just burst into a great emotional statement as a result. But we see from the correlation with this psalm that it's not that. And what we see instead is that her prayer is shaped by, it's based on, and it's stirred by the Word of God. And folks, that's always the most productive, the most genuine and effective prayer that we can pray. I'm not referring to the fact that we merely quote scriptures in prayer. That's a good thing to do. But we see that her prayer is stirred up and it's brought forth by what we find in the scriptures. The second thing that we see, folks, and this is the point I really want to stress to you this morning, and this is what our brother Marty shared, I want us to see the extreme importance of the entire Word of God to a Christian. And I'll repeat this a couple times this morning. Please forgive me. Special emphasis on the Old Testament. Folks, the Old supports the New, and the New interprets the Old. We need the entire Word of God in our lives. Spurgeon said this, that God writes with a pen that never blots. He speaks with a tongue that never slips, and he acts with a hand that never, ever fails. I want you to consider also, as we look at these things this morning, that absolutely none of the New Testament was written when Mary says these things. She knows absolutely nothing of the church of which her son would soon be the head. She's never heard the many writings of Paul that you and I have spent time with. She doesn't know anything about this person, John, who in just a couple years' time is going to take her into his own home as his mother. But folks, what I'd really like you to see this morning is this. This isn't just my take on this. I'm not just sharing what I think is going on here. And we're not just looking at what this brother of old said. I want you to see that the importance of the Old Testament in our lives has the blessing of Scripture and of Christ upon it. And we'll see this throughout the book of Luke. Please turn now to chapter 16 and verse 29. I want us to see this morning, as Mary has here referred to the Old Testament in her prayer, I want us to see just how blessed and important these Old Testament scriptures are. Now, folks, if you're familiar with this story in Luke 16, this definitely isn't a Christmas story. This isn't often mentioned at the Christmas time, because this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, both of whom die. The rich man finds himself in hell, and the poor man, Lazarus, finds himself in heaven. And the rich man in hell finds out very quickly. He calls out to Abraham, and he finds out in a real hurry that no comfort will be given to him. Three times he says, I'm tormented in these flames. No comfort will be given. He will never get out. So he turns his attention to five brothers still living. And he says, Abraham, send Lazarus to speak to my brothers that they won't come to this place of torment. And I want you to notice Abraham's response in verse 29. Abraham says, hey, there's something already in place. There's good news. Your brothers, none of your family need ever come. There's something already in place to teach them, to share the good news with them. Verse 29, they've Moses and the prophets. They've got the Old Testament. Let them hear them. So the message, the truth is already there. All they have to do is read and hear and believe. Well, it's interesting that a guy in hell thinks he knows more about this than a guy in heaven, but he doesn't agree. He says, no, Abraham, that won't work. That won't work. And notice that Abraham says the identical thing in verse 31, but just changes the tense. In verse 29, he says, hear Moses and the prophets. And now he says, verse 31, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament, they won't be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Folks, do you see the incredible importance here put upon the scriptures that Mary brought forth in her prayer? You see the importance of the entire Word of God. But folks, we can go to a greater authority than Abraham. Turn over to chapter 18 and verse 31. Chapter 18 and verse 31, this is the Lord Jesus, and it says, taking the 12, so this is referring to his disciples. And he said to them, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, And everything that's written about the Son of Man, notice, by the prophets, will be accomplished. You see, folks, the Word of God is for absolutely everybody. Folks, preaching's not an easy thing, but the one thing that's real easy about it is the text you preach from. Because if you preach from the Scriptures, you can't preach from a bad portion. And folks, you can preach this anywhere. I've shared the Word of God in Haiti and in Cuba. I've shared the Word of God in prison, in old folks' homes, at kids' camps, in quite a number of different churches, and it's always applicable. See, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is God wrote this for people. If you have a pulse and a breath, this is for you. This is God's Word for you, and you can preach it with confidence anywhere in the world, under any circumstance, to any group of people. This is the Word of God. But I want you to notice here, it says Jesus took the 12. God's Word is for all people. It is especially for His people. And notice what He said to them. We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written, so He's saying what's about to take place has already been spoken of. Everything that's going to happen to the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. So what's about to happen, it hasn't even happened yet, has already been foretold. And Jesus says here that everything written will be accomplished. You can take God at His word today. Folks, it was another Mary that the sister of Lazarus were told that when Jesus came to her house, it says she sat at His feet to hear His word. And as you and I would do really well to follow the example of the first Mary in praying the word of God, we do really well to follow the example of this second Mary and be sure to hear the word of God. Turn now to chapter 24. Because this is a subject much taken up with this author, Luke. Chapter 24 and verse 32. This is after the resurrection, and the Lord Jesus meets a couple of people walking. At this time, they don't recognize who He is. He speaks to them, and we're going to consider in a moment what He says. But after He leaves them, notice what they say in chapter 24 and verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road? What was He talking about? While He opened to us the Scriptures, the Old Testament again. You've heard the saying when you walk into a room and someone says, hey, were your ears burning? We were just talking about you. Well, folks, may the Word of God burn in our hearts. We have Christ Himself to explain it to us. Look in the same chapter, back up a couple of moments to verse 25. This is again after the resurrection. And though Jesus told His disciples ahead of time what would happen, though He told them they could find out what was going to happen in the prophets, they didn't do it. After He's raised, some people come and tell them, hey, the Lord is risen. They still don't believe it. So in chapter 4, verse 25, He said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Notice where He puts the emphasis, not even on the witnesses. He says, you don't believe what the Word of God says. You're not responding to the truth of God's Word. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter His glory? And notice this, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. You see, folks, the Lord's rebuke to the disciples here is that they weren't taking the time they could have with the Word of God. And notice He was explaining to them from the Word the things concerning Himself. We said in the early service this morning that the Gideons make this statement that Christ is the grand subject of the Bible, and so He is. In John 5, He said this to people. He said, search the Scriptures, meaning the Old Testament. In them you think you have eternal life. It's they which testify about Me. And folks, this word, this Old Testament is so important. that our Lord Jesus even backs it up with repetition. Notice verse 44, similar to what we've considered. Again, Luke 24 and verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. And what was he talking about then? That everything written about me, notice that, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. See, folks, Christ is the grand fulfillment, as we heard from Marty this morning, of all Scripture. Folks, Nathanael in John chapter 1 says, we've found him of whom Moses in the law spoke of, Jesus of Nazareth. Folks, at this Christmas season, instead of looking under the tree for a gift you probably don't need, why not look into the Scriptures for the Christ that you can't do without? Folks, he is the gift you can open with unceasing joy every day of the year. And that's why Paul spoke of him as the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, I think it's important to mention, and it comes out in Mary's words in Luke, some people hearing this may say, well, I guess I got to go to Bible school. I guess I got to be a scholar and all that. But in Luke 1:48, Mary says, he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. Folks, if you've got to go to Bible school and be a seminary student, then I guess you better throw me off the mound this morning, because I'm nothing of the kind. I don't know if I've mentioned to you, my grandmother was French-Canadian, and she couldn't read or write. She only went to school for 2 weeks, and her father came and took her out of the school and said, I need you on the farm, which is a very common thing back in that age. She couldn't read or write. When I was in grade 4, I used to go on my way home, and I'd stop and read her mail for her, because friends and nephews and people would send mail. She couldn't read it. But you know something? She would go to the service because my grandfather was sick and couldn't go. She would go, and when she came back, she would tell him word for word the message. See, knowing the Word of God, folks, is nothing to do with education. It's nothing to do with your credentials. Nothing to do with how smart you are. God wrote this Word for all people. God wrote this Word so you could understand, so you could know, so you could be blessed, that you could hear the Word of salvation. This Word is for all people. And Mary was fully able to grasp the significance of what was said in that psalm way back then and realized it was applicable to her life. The psalm says this, the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he helped me. Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. And again, that same psalm, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Peter and John were referred to as ignorant and unlearned men. And yet people noticed something else about them. They said, hey, those guys have been with Jesus. And Paul writes to the Colossians, he said, you understood the grace of God in truth. Folks, do you see also in Mary's example the blessedness of the personal application of Scripture? This isn't a dry bunch of old religious facts. It has pertinence to your daily life and existence. God's word is for you. It's not Mary alone whom all nations will call blessed, because the psalm says, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And Paul to the Ephesians says, blessed in Christ, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Folks, we literally shortchange ourselves by not opening this book and receiving the rich rewards from it. Folks, the blessedness of this Christmas season is not seeing Charlie Brown's Christmas. It's not a nativity scene on your lawn. It's not even singing Christmas carols. It's knowing intimately who was born in Bethlehem, and this book reveals him. This book reveals him. This Psalm 98, which Mary was rejoicing in, says, the Lord has made known his salvation. That's exactly what the angel said. We bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. In John 17, Jesus said this, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Again, folks, the Lord Jesus is a gift every day of the year. Every day of the year, not just in a season, not just an occasion, not just in one day of the calendar, but every day of the year. He said, "I come to give abundant life and I give eternal life." You have no gift under the tree that compares with that one. May these things be blessed to our hearts. And I ask the Lord's blessing in Christ's name. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time to open your word together, not to take our own opinion or our own slant on these things, but to hear we hear Christ himself speaking of the blessedness and the importance of the word and how he's the fulfillment of all scripture. And here, Father, just like the disciples, you haven't left us in the dark. You haven't left us without hope or direction. But we see this one who is clearly and absolutely the way and the truth and the life. How we thank you in his precious name. Amen.